15, miscellaneous. Staff comment will be Gail.
One thing I wanted to report out on was for our procurement policy, whenever I contract, we contract with someone with over 10,000 as a contract, I do need to report out to the board on it. So I did want to mention that Cicero's recently contracted with Jacobi Strategies. They're essentially a technology platform that's bundling risk oversight and portfolio construction tools with a communications and reporting platform. Investment staff will be using it to report on the functions of the sub-portfolios, conducting independent reviews of capital market assumptions, and also modeling new asset classes. Tim and I recently met with Jacobi Strategies, and it was a very, very interesting demo that we had. It's a very high-powered tool that we're looking forward to utilizing. Annual fee is $25,000 the first year. Costs could go up to $25,000, depending on the hours needed for consulting on developing the reports and such. So I wanted to report out on that. I also did want to mention over the next
question.
Yes.
So was that included in our budget for 2017?
That was. And then over the next few months, Sarah will be rolling out an employer handbook to our employers. It's our first ever employer handbook. I think that it's going to help improve communications and provide some good, pertinent information to them. We'll also be doing some outreach with employers. So I did want to report that.
Is that hard copy and or electronic? Or how will that, what form will that take?
So definitely electronic. And we try and limit paper copies as much as possible. That's still, we're still deciding how the paper copies will go.
I think, how many sponsors do we have? Not that many, right, in total. I just think paper copies are good to have. Talking about employers, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
so there's 16 districts in the county.
Right, I don't think it's that big a cost. I would think it'd be good to have that reference there for them, quick reference.
This is not for members, retirees. This is solely for the employers.
This is for the employer
sponsors.
Okay. It talks about,
yes.
You know, our requirements, our, you know, they send two import files to us, one with demographic, one has financial information in it. You know,
so specifically when you say
requirements around a lot of different things to assist them, and
they all have governing boards. I mean, so are you given a copy, or if they were to request a hard copy, the governing boards of each of those employers?
Yeah,
is that something you contemplate?
Oh, definitely.
You know, the only concern I have about hard copies these days is not just the ease of having it electronically, it's the ease of being able to update it.
Yeah.
And when you have hard copies out there, they tend to get dated, and people say, that's the one I'm working from. Well, we've had three since that time. And you begin to rely
on both sides. I think it's so easy, I can just grab it real quick and set a login.
But you don't know, hopefully, you would think that the electronic copy would be more current.
Oh, of course it would be.
Yeah.
What's your thoughts? Well, why do you smile at him randomly?
No, I was talking to Deborah.
He just does that.
Yeah. I'm a happy person. I assume it's going to be a PDF, and they could just print it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
how often will that be updated?
As often as necessary.
As required.
There's no set schedule right now for updating it. Our first goal is to actually finish having a really great document for our employers and update it. And we're also going to be updating some of the forms in the process.
Okay.
And providing additional instruction to employers so that they're helping members complete them appropriately. And, you know, we're really excited.
If you get a copy of the table of contents, just know what you're putting into it.
Yeah.
That'd be helpful. I'm curious to know what you're, I mean, how thick
is it? We're getting close to a final draft at this point.
Are you?
So we don't have a final thing. I don't have a final table of contents that I can roll out.
Thank you for the update.
But
yeah.
I wanted to give you a heads up over the next few months what we're going to be rolling out.
But you're including forms that the employees should be familiar with.
Yeah.
The employees filling out.
Yeah.
I'm just curious how deep do you go into explaining how this all works. I mean, obviously there was a letter that we got today that somebody could have probably used the manual.
Well, this is a manual for the employer.
I know employers.
Well, she was once an employer.
Uh-huh. Well, sort of.
And that's really, I mean, that's part of it, is also, you know, educating the employer that these are our requirements and these are our needs.
Uh-huh.
But also so that they can provide that, you know, better communication to their employees, so that when employees are sending in, members are sending in forms, we're not having to reject them because, oh, they didn't complete this section right.
Right.
You know, so we're trying to give them the tools to, so that, you know, we have a better communication all around.
And what do they have now? Don't they have some sort of a handbook, or we just sort of hand them forms and say fill them out? I mean, no, I'm just curious.
Board regulations.
Okay.
Is there a board regulations that talk about the employer's obligations?
Okay, so they have sort of a binder of regulations. I was just curious how it was handled, other than just through attrition, every HR director sort of.
They make their own rules.
Well, I think a handbook is helpful, and I would also have a section of highlighted changes, if there are some, or changes in the law, and it would be, you know, nice to annually update the manual, either send out a new manual or have an appendix. You know, I prefer updating, change out these sections or
kind of like what you do already for us with the law book and other, you know, just something similar. Maybe a three-ring binder so they can take out the old and put in the new.
Right, and update
change.
It. Yeah.
If they want to print a copy.
Yeah.
Again, so what would be the starting point on the highlight? That is, changes from when?
Well, I to me it would be from this year, but see, that's the thing. That's why I was curious to sort of what our base year was, if there was an existing base year handbook. So maybe it's this year. Here is the handbook, you know, read through it, call us if you have questions, and then every year highlight it. But I would like to see an online version that's always up to date, because most, I mean, there's anyone under 35 or 40 even myself, who is well over those, I'm 56, but I wouldn't rely on a handbook sitting on my shelf. I would immediately just go online to get the most recent version. So as long as we have a system in place to update the online version that they have access through a secure site, if or just to the general public.
Okay.
Just to that point, the dynamic aspects of things that are updated annually, the contribution limits, 415 limits, PEPR contribution limits, we're already producing a compliance update annually with those.
Yeah.
Any changes to IRS regulations?
Okay, so you're
as well.
Already sending them
so
something
we do,
with that.
But what this is giving a much deeper background on some of the processes and how to actually report that are in compliance with board regs and government codes. So, but yeah, we'll definitely be updating that.
Well, and yeah, and that would be very helpful, because there probably are some very unique circumstances that an agency may come across once every 10 years. And so if we have a handbook, ideally the electronic searchable handbook, you know, it'll be PDF anyway, where you can just find that. It would be very helpful and probably reduce your staff time of answering questions.
You know, if there is an update, can you send like an email saying, alerting that there is an update? Is that feasible?
Yeah, it's something that we're going to be taking a look at on how best to communicate with our employers. But I think the big thing is just to have this initial document out there, and then on a go forward basis, you know, I was a little hesitant to respond to how often we're going to be updating, because it really relies on, you know, if there are some big changes going on, obviously we're going to be updating more frequently.
Right.
I mean, I wouldn't think that it would be any further out than annually.
Could you put a copy on the website?
Oh, yeah. We'll definitely have a copy.
That'd be updated all the time.
I mean.
Well, the sheriff's office, anytime we have an update, there's an email. So, okay, these policies have been updated.
Mm-hmm.
That way we know that they've been notified that there's been a change.
Yeah, and at the beginning of the year, we always do our communication with employers on different items.
And how do you do that? By letter or in person when you update?
It's usually not. It hasn't been in person in the past. I'm looking at doing more outreach and doing more personal meetings with the districts.
But on the outreach, it's individual.
Yeah.
You haven't thought about hosting a conference, but you all come and you just meet them one time. And
So with the rollout of the employer handbook, there's been some different formats that we've been discussing, and I've been thinking about having a group come here and actually meeting with different individuals, as well as doing outreach and visiting actual district offices in some instances.
I like that.
Yep. So I just thought I'd give you an update on that.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate the feedback.
Okay, we have, I don't think we have any outside professionals here, so.
We're all staff.
I'm sorry.
Karen has
it. Oh, I'm sorry.
We're an inside professional.
Elise is handing out a summary of a new case that came down recently from the Court of Appeals with a new decision and another vested rights challenge. challenge to EFRA. The name of the case is Cal Fire Local 2881 versus CalPERS et al. And the Cal Fire case had to do with the elimination of the ability to purchase airtime service, which is service, it's up to 5 years of time that wasn't really worked, which is why it's called airtime. And PEPRA eliminated that ability to purchase that type of service. CalPERS implemented that and was challenged by the Cal Fire Local 2881 labor union. And their argument was that the elimination of that benefit was a violation of their the Cal Court disagreed with that position and upheld PEPRA. And upon review, the Court of Appeals also upheld PEPRA on that same reasoning. What we handed out was a client alert that Harvey Lederman issued yesterday that you can read. It's about 3 pages, and it has more information about the case.
If we have questions on this, can it be like an agenda item? Can we ask you right now?
Sure.
I can ask you. So, like on our terminal pay, if I understood it, they said that the board did not have the authority to give terminal pay there for a one-way. With their time, is it like a legacy member saying that's something we had and going forward maybe not? Is it one of those kind of cases?
It's essentially the legislature granted that benefit a while ago. I think it was in 2012 by enacting a statute that allowed that benefit, and then PEPRA eliminated it. Right. So the argument was that elimination took away something, a contractual right that the union members have.
So like for PEPRA, we have different pensionable compensation. So airtime was something legacy members had. Was it understood that they would keep it going forward?
So the argument is that the legacy members are claiming that they should have that ability going forward.
Right.
It should not have been eliminated.
And what the court's ruling, I understand, is saying that you can take away benefits without giving, like the California rule. So basically the way I understood is going against the California rule.
Yes, it is going against the California rule. That the
member
did not have a vested right to that benefit.
And is that interpreted, again, I need to understand, is that just that benefit right now, or is that saying the way it's being spread out, like it could mean anything else?
I mean, the holding is limited to the airtime elimination, which other benefits,
case,
yes.
Right. Yeah. And the way I understand, it's not going to the Supreme Court, so it's done at the Court of Appeals.
It hasn't been appealed yet to the Supreme Court, but they may do that. Okay. So yes,
I thought I read somewhere the Supreme Court said they'll hear, you would possibly hear it, but not until after our case.
Yes, that's the Marin case, the May case. The California Supreme Court decided to review that and make a decision on it, but not until the Costa and Alameda 8197 case has been decided upon by the Court of Appeals.
Yeah. Okay, all done. Thank you. Any other staff? Okay, let's go to trustees. Trustee comments?
Just a quick comment. On the February meeting, when the hazmat people, when we discussed that, can we get an update on the PDOCs, where that process is at with the hearings? Have they had any yet or anything?
There haven't been any hearings.
Haven't been done with that yet?
There's been things done with it, but not. But not, I can. Not, I'll yeah. provide an update to the.
That's board. What I mean. Just an update where it's at.
Okay, go ahead.
At the last two meetings, I think we've had two since then. I failed to report out for the audit committee, so I apologize for that. The audit committee met on November 2nd. The key items that we discussed and had presentations on were. Safeguards on the verification of living status based on our Oregon experience. We received a presentation on outsourcing the internal audit service and the requirements that we would like to see going forward, And then there was a presentation on subledger being decommissioned.
Have you ever thought of audit committees being with other audit committees within the 1937 Act? Have you ever thought? If I could kind of compare how everybody's doing it.
Well, we had several, did we have presentations, Raleigh, on?
Well, I presented a survey to the audit committee of what the other Act 37 and how their audit committees work and their scope of work that they do.
That was like in one of our first ones.
Right, right, right. And there is an informal work group by the audit staff, internal auditors that gets together by, you know, telephonically. And then part of the accounting breakout is there's from time to time internal audit topics at SACRS as well. So they tend to put those two together at the SACRS meetings. So there are venues, but perhaps a single venue, considering a number of the changes to bring everybody together and trustees together, might be beneficial, actually.
And I know at SACRS, me, Rusty, and Deborah all sat in when they had a presentation on internal audits, and they had a panel.
Okay.
Just so you know, I'm actually forming a new nonprofit organization. It's the California 1937 Act Audit Committees Association. So I'm looking for board members if you all would like to do that. I'm joking.
Yes. Todd wants to sign up. Yeah.
Yeah. You're good. Capable of doing it, so that's why we all wonder.
That's funny. Oh, no.
In your free time. You have nothing
I have
else
so
to
much
do.
Free time.
I passed my exam for CAPPP for the International Foundation.
Wow, he's smarter.
Congratulations. We knew you could do it.
First med school, now this.
So there's more certificates to be had, so I'll keep working on that. But it's a very good program, actually, to help understand the role, responsibilities, and so forth of a trustee. So,
yep, so good. Program.
Good,
great.
In the mail today.
Any further trustee comments? If not,
move to adjourn.
We are adjourned.
There is lunch next door.